Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, today is Inauguration Day. Yes, it is. It has come and it has already taken place. This is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad that you could join us today here on Wednesday, January the 20th, 2021. So today we have some stuff to talk about for these next 30 minutes. Today we're speaking just about a call for unity, and then we're asking the question, can a divided nation heal? Can a divided nation heal? I'm sure that you've asked that question, and if you haven't, I'm sure before long you will be asking the question, can a divided nation heal? And so I had the opportunity today to see the inauguration, and I thought it was a good inauguration. A lot of course, historical aspects to it. From the standpoint of President Joe Biden, he is the oldest president to have been inaugurated, in case you didn't know that. And then, of course, Vice President Kamala Harris made history in at least two or three ways. First of all, of course, as the first female vice president to serve in that capacity, and then the first woman of color. Of course, on her father's side, her dad is Jamaican, and then her late mother is Indian from southeastern India. And so she made history in that regard as well. And so a lot of good things happen. And and then of course, there was other things that went on, but those things happened. And so again, I listened to it, and President Joe Biden, gave what I thought was a great inauguration speech. Every president, once he's sworn in, gives a speech, to address the nation. And I thought that President Biden's speech was a great speech. So I want to address that. And I got a few other things I want to say. But remember, again, we're talking about a call for unity. Can a divided nation heal? And we're going to answer that. Okay. And so I want to just take a moment here to take just a quick break. And just for an advertiser, just a quick break, but I'll be right back. We're going to get right to it, and we're going to be able to answer this question. So give me about 30 seconds, and I'll be right back with you. This is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host here, Wayne Cooper. One of the things that, as I listened to President Biden's address, one of the things that he spoke about, and I thought it was a good thing, I think it was something he needed to speak about, and it had to do with this issue of the division in our country. As you know, we are a deeply divided country here in America. And we've seen a lot in the last few years, not only in the last 4 years, but even beyond that. America didn't just get divided during these last 4 years. We were divided long before President Trump came along. And so, but we saw the divide get even wider during his administration. And so President Biden, I think, appropriately spoke to the issue of our division. And there was a section of his speech that I want to just pull out and that I did read and, you know, contemplated what he was saying and try to, you know, put it in the big scheme of things as we go forward to answer the question, can a divided nation heal? So let's listen to what he says. He says, I quote, "I know speaking of unity can sound to some like a foolish fantasy these days. I know the forces that divide us are deep and they are real, but I also know they are not new. Our history has been a constant struggle between the American ideal that we all are created equal and really," he says, "harsh, ugly reality that racism, nepotism, fear, demonization have long torn us apart," end quote. So that section of his speech, I think, speaks volumes. Of course, he spoke other words about it. He talked about, you know, we need to bring down the temperature so that it won't burn us up. And so that fire has been burning for, as I stated, for a long time, long before 4 years ago. And so now we are at a place where we are deeply divided and we need to come together. But the question is, how in the world are we going to do that? And of course, being the new president, a lot of that burden is on the shoulders of President Joe Biden. And that is why I have asked people to pray for the new president and his administration, for our vice president, because they're going to need our prayers, okay? Because they're not superhuman, and of course, they can't do everything on their own. We who are the citizens of this great country, we play a role in the healing as well. And so I want to say, first of all, that our country has never been as divided as we are now. And the question, let's ask this, let's just talk about, you know, whose fault is it? Because a lot of times when you're talking about something is wrong, one of the first questions that is asked, whose fault is it? You know, who's in the wrong? You know, who started this? And there's a few things that I want to address, because I believe we can answer this question. And when we ask the question, whose fault is it? Let me just say, for starters, that the very nature of politics is to divide. Now, you may not see yourself as a person who follows politics. Let me just say, as a younger man, I would be the first to admit that politics was the last thing on my mind. Definitely, as I look back in my early years growing up, in the Deep South, coming up through high school and then going into the United States military, I was exposed to a lot of politics, but I wasn't really interested in politics. But what I quickly learned about it is that the very nature of politics is to divide. In other words, when you're talking about politics, people have the attitude, it's my way, or my way is the better way. Because in at least in America, we have two major political parties. And we know that one party is the Democratic National Party. And the other party, of course, is the Republican National Party. Now, there are others like, you know, the Libertarian, the Independent, the Conservative parties. But neither one of those parties are as big as the other two major parties. And so the very nature of politics is to divide. One person said years ago, I heard an elderly gentleman say when he was speaking about politics, I had never heard anyone put it like this, but he says that the very nature of politics is to play one crowd against the other crowd. And you think about that, that it is to play one crowd against the other crowd. And sometimes, you know, you may not want to see it in that way, but when it comes down to it, I think that's probably a good, accurate way to look at politics, is that it plays one crowd against the other. And so our country, you know, has never been as divided as we are. And I'll say that one reason for that is because of the very nature of politics. And so I don't want to mislead you to think that we could ever live in a time where we would never have any division, because again, the very nature of politics is to divide us. And so that in itself, but there are some other culprits, I think, that are responsible for causing this divide in our country amongst the American people. And let me just say, at the top of that list, as I've observed, especially in these last 4 years, I would have to say that the mainstream media is primarily responsible for dividing the country. Now, you may ask, but how is that so? Well, first of all, here's what I've observed. I would say that the first thing is by being unprofessional. In other words, there were times, even when the mainstream media was dealing with President Trump himself, or maybe some key person in his administration, rather than, you know, approaching the president and his administration in a professional manner, they made it personal. You know, how they felt about the president came through very easily. And so it ceased to be an unbiased, professional encounter, but it became very personal. And so it was that. And then just really close to that, I think that we saw that they showed partiality. And so if you look at the mainstream media, now this wasn't always this way, but down through the years, what we've seen is that the mainstream media is pretty much an arm of the Democratic Party, okay? And so we saw that in these last 4 years in the Trump administration, is that the mainstream media really worked for the Democratic National Party, because every time there was any kind of encounter, whether it be with the president, whether it be with someone on his staff, whether it be with the young woman, Kayleigh McEnany, you know, the press secretary, there was always this personal attack that they had towards the Trump administration. And so by showing partiality, they then ceased to be objective, okay? And so what did that do? Well, of course, that divided us. How? Well, because then the Trump supporters took it personally, and then those who were on the other side thought that the media was doing their bidding. And so all of a sudden now you have both parties going at each other, because the mainstream media is leading the way attacking the administration. And then I think that, as I stated, by aligning itself also with organizations that generally went against conservative organizations. So, for example, the mainstream media was also connected with, let's say, an organization like Planned Parenthood. So we all know that in our country, by and large, that more Republicans will be against abortions than Democrats. Okay, that is a far gone conclusion. And so the mainstream media pretty much work on behalf Planned Parenthood, but that's just one organization. There are other organizations that would be considered more liberal that the mainstream media would seem to work for or to back up, so that it would be against what the conservatives or the Republicans stood for. And the thing about it is, like I said, years ago, ladies and gentlemen, the mainstream media would never make this so obvious. Okay, so even if they felt that way, it wasn't as obvious as what we've seen in these last 4 years. And so they just decided that they didn't care. And then specifically, it was their nonstop hatred of President Trump. Let me tell you this. If you looked at cable television, and sometimes even with regular network television, you could look at TV around the clock, in particular with networks like CNN, NBC, all of those particular cable outlets. And I promise you that every programming they had, even if the programming was not about politics, somehow or another, it made its way around President Trump and the subject of President Trump in terms of what he did or what he didn't do, whether they liked him or didn't like him, or whether they thought he was a good president or not a good president. I mean, it was always about him. And I remember telling someone that I saw a pattern, I saw a trend. And here's what I saw. I told someone, I said, what I see is this. The mainstream media is this really speaking ill of the president, and they're doing it so much so that what the objective is to say Trump's name enough so that by the time re-election time comes around, that people will despise him so much that they'll be more than ready to get rid of him. And I think that ploy worked in some respect, because by the time after 4 years, I think people were ready for Trump to leave. Not necessarily because he did all the things that the mainstream media says he did, because think about it, the mainstream media, every single day, here's what I heard. Oh, the president lied. Oh, he's a liar. I mean, they were just giving him all kinds of bad names, but yet they never could really say, well, what did he lie about? But every time you talk to other people, well, the president is a liar. So they were spreading this kind of information out into the public domain. And so people were buying into it. And unfortunately, the president and maybe his team didn't do a better job at somehow, refuting that and causing the subject, to turn elsewhere. But it seemed like he was always the topic of their conversation. And so definitely it was a nonstop, around-the-clock objective. It was to sow hatred towards President Donald Trump. And then even when the Democratic primary came along, when it was time for the Democrats to choose their nominee, and when Joe Biden became the nominee, isn't it interesting that we saw for the first time that the mainstream media never challenged a major party nominee for president? I mean, I have never in my life seen where a candidate could stay in his basement, never be asked questions, at least not any hard, challenging questions about the issues of the day. I think one of the questions he got was what flavor of ice cream he was eating, but there was never any really challenging questions. They never asked him about his proposed policies, none of that. And that is why even today, people recognize, they say, well, we don't know what President Biden is going to do about whatever, because we never heard on the campaign trail anything that he said he was going to do, except for a few things in terms of executive orders of trying to reverse some of the things that President Trump had done through executive orders. And so we didn't know, but they refused to challenge him. And so I think going forward, what we need to pay attention to is whether the mainstream media is going to now challenge President Joe Biden on the issues going forward, that can impact our country, okay? Because a lot of things are at stake. And so we need to know where our president stands on some of these issues. And so I think they were definitely complicit in that. But then there was something else. This last summer, when there was a lot of looting and violence and federal buildings being burned in states like Washington and Oregon by organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, some of these far left movements, and people being beaten up, even a couple of people were killed because they were shot. It is really amazing that the mainstream media did not say a word. And when they did say something, they tried to give the picture that these, quote, protests were all peaceful. Well, I don't think anyone would construe when there is fire, when there is looting, when there is beating people up, when there is unrest going on, that you would classify that as peaceful. And yet, that's what the mainstream media did. In fact, they not only did that, but they even kind of propped it up. I mean, like as if they were encouraging it, okay? And so they said nothing about it. And then, you know, one of the things that I also saw, which I think is awful, and it this is one of the most juvenile, immature things that I saw that the media tried to do. And unfortunately, this spilled out even among citizens. And you know what it is? It has to do with pitting even, say, our first lady, our former first lady, Melania Trump, against our former first lady, Michelle Obama. I mean, with things like who dressed better, who looked better in this, and who looked better than that. And all of a sudden, all you got to do is go on social media, and you see that even today, you know, I was looking at social media and people looking at Michelle Obama, what she had on. And then there were other people who were feeling offended by that. And so what did they do? Well, they had to then prop up pictures with Melania Trump, because we all know that Melania Trump is, at least in my opinion, she is the absolute best dresser of any first lady in my lifetime. And look, and that wouldn't surprise anyone who understands Europe. Europe and Europeans are the best dressers in the world. Let me just tell you, if you've never been, Europe is the standard for fashion. So I don't know why that's a big deal and why that would surprise anyone, except for people who don't know anything about the sartorial world of fashion. So, but I just think it's just sad that the media play that kind of game, and unfortunately, it brings people into it, and so all of a sudden, common citizens are making comparisons. Well, who's the best dresser? Who looked better in this? Well, let me just leave that alone, because I just think that was just so, so immature. And then I have to tell you, the two major parties bear some responsibilities for the division. And basically, it was due to a simple power grab, you know? That's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. The people in Washington are not about taking care of the people in the country. If you believe that, I have something else I can sell you that I don't even possess, okay? It is never about. I'm not saying that you can't find one here or there that is sincere, but for the most part, the people there in Washington, D.C. are not about caring for its citizens, okay? That is why, for the most part, things never get done. And then, you know, that there's just this willingness to cast one another in the worst possible light. And so if you want to know why the country is divided, it's divided because our Congress is divided, you know, our the House and our Senate are divided, you know, and so they play a role. But then, because I am a voice of reason and I am a fair-minded person, I don't want to omit this part. I thought about it, and it is nothing but the truth. And here's what it is: former President Donald Trump also played a role, and let me tell you how he played a role. It started with his abrasive and toxic personality, okay? Donald Trump was rough around the edges. You know, he's a New Yorker from Queens. He says what he thinks. He has no filter, you know. And so he was very abrasive and toxins. I knew that from day one, when he ran, over 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. His insults, his tweets, towards his political enemies and even common citizens, all of those things as the president of the United States, that was beneath him. And yet somehow he never rose above that. And I'll tell you something. I was very offended by those things. I could not understand a man of his age, a man of his life experience, but especially a man of his high office, how he could have allowed himself to stoop to the levels of that. And so I often wonder, is there anybody there who could bring him in, rein him in, so to speak, but apparently they could not. And then there was his part of his personality where he had this constant need for affirmation and approval. Everything was about him. I guess that's where the narcissism showed up, okay? And so then there was his lack of wisdom. And what I mean by that, knowing what to say, when to say it, and even if you should say it, okay? And then his demand that people should be loyal to him, even if their loyalty was based on lies and went against the rules. So for an example is when he got mad at Vice President Mike Pence, saying that Mike Pence could overthrow the electors' votes. And that was simply not true. That was not true constitutionally. It was not true legally, okay? And it was not true ethically or morally. And yet, Mike Pence had been loyal to him, had supported him even when it wasn't popular to do so. But what did he do? He called Mike Pence out. And so those things, will be a issue that I think President Trump would probably have to look at, going forward when he thinks about whether, could he have done something better. Now, going back to this, because time is going by so fast, just ask the question, so will President Biden be able to unify the country? Now, let me just tell you here quickly, because I want to be honest and I want to be totally transparent. The question is, will he be able to unify the country? And ladies and gentlemen, I could have taken more time with this today, but I didn't because of the inauguration. I wanted to make this show for 30 minutes, but let me just tell you, my answer is an emphatic no. He's not going to be able to do it for a few reasons. And let me tell you what they are. One has to do with the Second Amendment. For people who are gun owners, he wants to water that down, but that's never going to be taken away because it requires 2/3 of the votes from the states. And then, so that's not going to bring us together. And then there's going to be unfettered abortion. Is anything going to be done about that? No, there's still going to be abortion. And we're not going to be on one accord about that because there is probably half of the country that is against abortion, whereas others don't care whether a woman aborts her baby, okay? Then there's going to be increase of taxes for everybody. Medicare has dropped down to age 60, and then this Green New Deal. So all of that is going to be reasons why people are not going to come together. Now, rather than trying to rush this, I'm going to come back maybe on Friday, and we're going to finish some things up, okay? But I wanted to just take 30 minutes today, and I want to say this, is that while we are deeply divided as a country, that doesn't mean that we cannot make an effort, okay, to be civil and respectful towards one another. And so I hope that as you think about some of the things I said, I'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. West Coast time and 7 p.m. East Coast time. So until I see you on Friday, this is the Voice of Reason talk show, Wayne Cooper. Take care of yourself, and may God bless you.